Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Makos Daf Gimel, Makos 3a, pagination is 5, starting from the Mishnah in the beginning of a line, midway on the page. We're dealing with Edim Zomimin cases. That means that two witnesses originally said testimony to some effect, and that later two other witnesses came and said, Immanuel Yisem b'makom ploni, you were with us in some other place at the time that you claim this event that you're saying testimony occurred. And therefore, you simply can't be testifying on it. And we have a rule, Parsha Shoftim, Vasisem lo kasher zomam, you're going to do to them as they tried to do to the other person, as they plotted, so shall be done to them. Which prompts us to explore clarity on what exactly were they trying to do to the other person. Sometimes it's clear. They were trying to kill him. They claimed that he's a murderer. They witnessed a murder that he did. So we know exactly what it was that they were trying to do until these other witnesses came in and pulled the rug from underneath them, saying, you were never there. You were in another place at that time. Sometimes, however, it's not entirely clear at face value what is it that they were trying to do to the defendant. And we need to clarify that in order to know what punishment to administer to these Edim Zomimin. The Mishnah states, Me'idim anu es ish paloni, we're saying testimony about a certain person. This is the original testimony that later turns out to be a case of Edim Zomimin. They said testimony shegiresh es ishto, that he divorced his wife, v'lonosan lak subasa, and did not yet give her the ksuba. Taisvah says that the woman acknowledges that she was divorced. But as far as the money that the husband is supposed to pay his wife upon divorce was not yet paid. Such is the claim of these witnesses, their testimony. It turns out that they're wrong. He did pay the ksuba money, and they had no business saying such a testimony. Says the Mishnah, but it gets confusing. V'halo ben ayom uven lamachar, the argument could be made that whether it's today or tomorrow, sofa litin la ksuvasa, it is possible that he's going to have to pay the ksuba money anyway. Meaning, if he dies before her, or if he does decide to divorce her, he's going to have to pay this money. What exactly did they do to impact him negatively? He's going to pay the ksuba anyway, but he's paying it now. Is that all that we're dealing with? Says the Mishnah, you can take, the expression would be the bull by the horns. You could embrace the challenge here of figuring out how much money he should owe, and ask, what is the market value for such a ksuba? Omdim, let's evaluate. Kama odam rotza litem b'ksubasa shel zu, how much would a person be willing to pay for her ksuba to buy its rights? She'im nis almana, onis garsha, that if she does become a widow, meaning he dies first, or she gets divorced, then this person who purchased it should get the ksuba payment paid to him. V'imesa yirashana baila. And if she dies first, then he's out his money. He purchased the ksuba on speculation. Essentially, what the Mishnah is doing is saying, I understand it's confusing. How much should we assess the value of the ksuba under these circumstances? What exactly did the Edim Zomimim try to impact the husband financially? What was the impact? We're not able to assess it. Let's go out to the market. Let's find out. What's the market value on such a thing? A person could buy the rights for the ksuba should it end up being relevant. And that's obviously a discounted rate. Perhaps it's going to be discounted based on people making bets on their marriage. Maybe it's going to be based on making bets on his health. If he's a smoker, we could wonder if the ksuba value is going to change, because people are going to give odds differently. At least they do in the world of life insurance. But the Mishnah gives you a fundamental principle. Go find out what is the market value that these Edim Zomimin were trying to impact him. This question is relevant in so many ways, and we need to know how to apply it. But the concept of junk bonds, how much is it really worth? And one approach is, it's worth whatever people are willing to pay for it. Ask on the market. That's its value. It is interesting that this follows a general attitude of the Talmud, which, for example, is against price fixing. We don't step in and say, we think the price ought to be, and therefore enforce it. It is true. We sometimes take a look at things and see, hey, it's inflated. There's a problem here. But the way we fix it, as we've mentioned in other sessions, is to affect the supply and demand and let the consumer's priorities and perception of value dictate the price. We have this, for example, if the price of fish before Shabbos goes up too much, because the Jews are always buying fish in honor of Shabbos, then the Rabbanim don't step in and set a price on fish, but the Rabbanim in certain communities historically had the right, they did, tell people not to buy fish for a certain number of weeks. And the supply-demand curve automatically rectifies the inflation in price and brings things back to a normal, livable standard. Let's take a look at the next Mishnah, which is three lines later, where again we see the same type of principle. Mi'idim anu be'ish peloni, we're saying testimony about a person, shu chayv lachavero elef zuz, he owes 1,000 of a certain coin, almanas litnen lo mikan vad shloshim yom, and he has to pay it within 30 days. Vuhu omer, and the defendant in this case says, the borrower, mikan vad eser shanim, I have 10 years to pay up. And it turns out that they are zomimin. They were never there, they had no business saying such a testimony, so they were trying to impact him the difference between paying in 30 days, which is what they were imposing, and paying in 10 years, which he agrees he owes the money, but he has 10 years to pay it up. How do you figure out the value of what they were impacting him? Says the Mishnah, Omdim, we evaluate. Kama Adam Rotza Litain, how much would a person be willing to pay for Yiyu Biyado Elav Zuz, and he should have ability to spend this 1,000 coins, beinosnim mikan vad lamed yom, whether he's going to get it for 30 days, beinosnim mikan vad eser shanim, as opposed to getting it for 10 years. How much would he be willing to pay in the difference? And that's the value of what they were trying to impact him. Obviously, we're not talking about paying interest to another Jew, the difference between 30 days and 10 years. But there's still value to it. How much would a person be willing to pay to appease somebody to get him the difference in terms? Perhaps it does get impacted in some way by interest rates if he would have to borrow from a non-Jew, which would be permitted to do. But however it is, there's a market value, the Mishnah teaches us. go figure out what the market value is, and that's the amount that he was wronging the defendant. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.